Hello, and welcome to Season 3 of Healthcare Fraud Shield's podcast. My name is Karen Weintraub, and I'll be the moderator, and sometimes also the person presenting on these podcasts as well. From time to time, we will invite guests to speak on various topics throughout the year. If you are unfamiliar with Healthcare Fraud Shield, we are a fraud, waste, and abuse software company that is focused solely on healthcare fraud prevention and payment integrity needs. We have an integrated platform that includes AI, post-payment analytics, prepayment analytics, pharmacy analytics, case management tool, and a reporting tool. Also, as part of our organization, we have a number of industry-leading healthcare subject matter experts that are integrated throughout our organization and involved in our services as well. I hope you enjoy the podcast this season, so we thank you for listening and get ready for each episode. So if you need anything or have any questions about Healthcare Fraud Shield, you can reach us at www.hcfraudshield.com. Thank you. Hi, and welcome to the Healthcare Fraud Shield podcast. My name is Karen Weintraub, and I am with Healthcare Fraud Shield, and I've been the friendly voice that you've been listening to on these podcasts over the last 2 years. So today, we are going to talk a little bit about what is known as traveling physicians. It is a topic that we recently wrote an article about. So for those that follow our newsletter, we write an article about once a month, and sometimes we'll talk about them on this podcast as well for those who like to listen to things versus reading them or both. And sometimes we add a little bit of different information on the podcast. So traveling physicians, it's also known as what's called locum tenens, which literally means to hold the place of. So what's interesting is they've actually renamed what this is referred to as. It's now known as fee-for-service time compensation physicians. But a lot of folks in our industry still refer to it as locum tenens. So just be aware of both ways of referring to these types of traveling physicians. So, you know, to hold the place of, really, they're just a substitute. They typically do not own their own practice, but they travel to fill in for other practices and other providers in a practice. So those other providers that they're filling in for or that they're substituting for, they may not be able to work. And that could be for a variety of reasons. One in particular that's potentially most common is that someone has fallen ill and, you know, can't perform the duties in their office. These traveling physicians or locum tenens, or fee-for-service time compensation, so say that 10 times fast, they are typically paid on a per diem basis. They will work in short-term agreements, so this is not meant to be an extended period of time. And they are not full-time salaried employees. They are contractors. If you Google locum tenens, you will find a whole host of information and articles. Most people are still referring to it as that. But there's companies out there that hire just for this type of service or this type of arrangement. So one of the big questions, you know, for folks in this industry is, you know, how is it billed and what do we need to be on the lookout for? So claims can be submitted for services rendered by a physician or a physical therapist for covered services by appending what's known as modifier Q6. The definition of Q6 are services furnished under a fee-for-time compensation arrangement by a substitute physician or by a substitute physical therapist furnishing outpatient physical therapy services in a health professional shortage area, medically underserved area, or a rural area. So keeping in mind when these services are billed on claims, the claim information should represent the name and the NPI of the actual physician or physical therapist who is out on leave and is the one who needed the substitute, not the substitute itself. This has been an issue and needs to continue to be monitored. If you Google it, you'll find a ton of articles out there. There are quite a few. In fact, just last year, there was an article about how the Department of Justice had cracked down on a telemarketing scheme. They were basically operating in conjunction with a local locum tenens company. I always find that the Department of Justice operation names kind of amusing. So this one was called Operation Happy Clickers. That operation resulted in losses of about $7.3 million. Just as a side note, I would like to be the person that comes up with the names for these operations. I think they can be entertaining. So what was happening with Operation Happy Clickers? So you had some telemarketing companies calling Medicare patients, and in some instances, they were just part of call centers that were overseas, and they would call and ask about providing braces and genetic testing and things that just weren't even needed. And they would reimburse physicians, and in some instances, they had arrangements with these locum tenens companies for their staff or their traveling physicians to review orders and sign off on them. So then the telemarketing companies would then sell these orders, and voila, there's your scheme. So that was one. The year before, in 2020, there were two ophthalmologists who actually were ordered to pay back about almost $950,000 because they had a provider who was actually employed. So they weren't even a traveling physician, but they were employed. But in addition to that, they were not even credentialed by Medicare. And this particular case came about because it was a whistleblower case. So someone that was a part of the practice, basically, made folks known about it. So something to think about. You want to be aware of these arrangements, how to detect them in your billing data, of course, and then how to actually investigate it and prove, or as folks who know me will say, or even disprove that allegation, because not everything is showing that somebody's doing something wrong. It could sometimes just be we need to just find out the right information and find out the truth. So when we are looking at these claims that are submitted with the modifier Q6, a few things we want to be aware of for potentially inappropriate usage. Services billed longer than 60 days. That is typically not okay, because remember, these are supposed to be short-term arrangements. So when you research some of the companies hiring, it's interesting the terminology. So you may not always know if they're billing this way or not, but there's several advertisements for locum tenens that say 6 month position or 4 month position. So just something to be aware of. And I recognize that just because an ad says it doesn't mean they're actually billing it inappropriately, but it could be an indication of the types of organizations that you're going to want to potentially take a look at. But there are also some exceptions to those 60 days. One example are providers who are in the armed forces and called to active duty. So if their absence is greater than 60 days due to those circumstances, that would be most likely considered an exception. Some other things you want to look for. You can't bill for Q6 if a provider is fully employed in that group. Because remember, these are supposed to be per diem providers who are contractors, not salaried employees. They're not supposed to be filling in for a deceased provider. One other thing you're going to want to look at outside of the claim data is ask for a log of the patients seen by this substitute provider with those dates of service, so you can help verify the information. That is the gist of Q6. There are a lot of modifiers out there. It's probably just important to note that there is another modifier that is very, very similar. It is Q5. It's even the language and the description is somewhat similar, but basically it's a reciprocal billing arrangement where Q6 is that fee for time compensation. So think about different physicians who basically are covering for each other. Kind of think of it like a two-way street. So Q5, Q6. So we see more Q6 than Q5, but you should obviously be aware of both. So again, when you're detecting these types of behaviors, you want to take a variety of approaches. So you want to use all the different things in your arsenal, such as artificial intelligence. You want to use specific rules. All of those things come into play when you're detecting this behavior. So you can use different types of AI models, which may identify things a little bit faster, especially if you don't have other types of analytics in place that are specifically monitoring this behavior. So you're going to want to look for that because those models are going to look for a lot of anomalous behavior. And if someone is billing outside the norm for the modifier Q6, then AI is going to be a great tool to pick that up. If you want to narrow the focus a little bit, you can certainly do that. So what if I need to monitor, a very specific number of days that this is being billed? Potentially a more rules-based approach for that type of scenario may be more appropriate. So you got to be mindful and careful about how the different methodologies of AI and rules are used and what's most beneficial for what you're trying to do. AI is great. It's got a lot of, great things that it can do. But for those, I've heard a lot of, companies talk about kind of narrowing its focus, looking at only a particular specialty. Just be mindful that sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it may not be, depending on what you're trying to do. You might need actually the full picture of what's happening to really have it be effective. So there are pros and cons to every approach. As a philosophy of personally and as an organization, we believe in really both AI and a rules approach. So again, from a rules perspective, I may be able to set up something very specific, looking for exact number of days, and just pinpointing claims that are over that 60-day mark. Where from an AI perspective, I may be looking for just providers that it's not the norm for this Q6 billing, whether it's not the norm for that specialty or not the norm for that provider or a whole host of other reasons. So always consider, what approaches may make sense for what you're trying to do. And of course, everything that we do needs to be vetted and we need to, potentially fine-tune AI models and fine-tune rules. All of that needs continuous updating. It's why we have, our data science team. It's why we have people also specifically dedicated to making sure that rules are up to date, and constantly being modified. COVID alone is, I know everyone's, COVID codes and vaccine codes, and there's just so many, and probably people are tired of hearing about them, but the new vaccines that come out on a monthly basis, really keeps our folks busy. One thing as a final takeaway, no matter what you're doing or what you're monitoring, there's one thing that I think it's the biggest thing to take away from analytics and data mining is just consistency. So always consistently reviewing the data for what might not look right, what looks different from, the last time you ran the data and the time before that. That consistency will, hopefully ensure that you don't miss something that's popping up, that's emerging, whether it's emerging through your AI models or something else. Consistency in reviewing what's being picked up by models and alerts so you can continue to vet and fine-tune all of those different pieces to always maximize and make your analytics more efficient for everyone. For resources, again, this will be a personal note here. There's a lot of great sites out there for coding. We use AAPC Coder, but I know for modifiers, I actually like to use a lot of the Max websites. So WPS, Palmetto, Noridian, I think they've got some great fact sheets on modifiers. So just want to put that out there as well. So look for our upcoming newsletter, articles, look for our upcoming webinars, and you can always check us out on our website and social media. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. You can email our general SIU email at siu@hcfraudshield.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.